Good morning. I'm really happy to always be able to, you know, have opportunities like that to share God's word with you. Now, in the text and message today, we will come across the mention of Canaan as God's promised land to the nation of Israel, and given the ongoing Israeli-Hamas conflict in the area, I just want to be clear with us and all the hearers, I don't know where the message goes, that this message is not a call of support for modern-day Israel, okay? And I also personally do not support the idea that modern-day secular Israel can claim present divine right to the land of Canaan. So, with that said, I shall start. Have you ever watched a movie? In the beginning, you thought, oh my goodness, where is this going? Then you give it, you're curious enough to, you know, hang in there, and then you give it a chance, and you catch on. The plot twists, it gets a little exciting, then comes the revelation, and the whodunit and the heroes all become clear. Today's message is a little bit like that, okay? There's quite a bit of setup, and I've left the best for last. So hang in there. Today we'll walk through Joshua 24, chapter 24, and we'll see that God never fails. He's faithful to his word. And using the Israelite story, I'll show us how that points to our future. And we'll take this in three parts. God fulfills the covenant with Israel. God delivers the consequence for a disobedient Israel, and God's chosen people of the New Testament. Okay. If I promise you that I will bring you flowers every day from today, then it's my promise to you, I must do it. You can remain passive. I must bring it because I'm the promiser. All other parties, just be passive, doesn't matter. But unlike a promise, in a covenant, all parties have clear obligations and responsibilities, and there are consequences for failing to uphold them. Now, covenants can be considered sacred contracts. They are usually between God and people, or between individuals in the conscious presence of God. Okay, like a marriage. So there is a reason why the symbolism and imagery of marriage is applied to the relationship between Christ and the body of believers, the church. Because believers are the blood ransomed bride of Christ. He shed his blood to redeem the believers, the sinners. They become believers, so you can see that there's this, you can understand why the Bible tells us, you know, that there's this relationship, you know, you are blood ransomed, you're the bride of Christ. And in the covenant, there are no passive parties. Now, Christianity is not a willy-nilly, come-as-you-go type of relationship you have with God, right? Christians are saved for a life of obedience and allegiance to Christ every single day of your born-again life. The readings today, the theme is so strong from Joshua, Psalm, and the parable of the 10 maidens, tell us that believers are in a covenant with God, with real obligations and responsibilities, with real consequences, and a real final outcome. Now in Joshua chapter 24, okay, this is the time God fulfills his covenant with Israel. The Israelites have settled in the land for many years, and the Lord has given them rest from all the enemies around them. Joshua is well advanced in years, and he gathers them to deliver his final words. And in his speech, he challenges his people to remember the covenant and then renew their covenant with God. So what was that covenant? Flashback, Abraham. God chose through Abraham God chose Israel to be his people, and he will be their God. God will establish them as a nation under him and give them Canaan as a safe dwelling place. And on their part, the Israelites, they must worship God alone. God's desire for his chosen people, the nation of Israel, was that they may lead a distinctly different life, that others may see and know that there is God, right? They are to point people to a God. And out of Israel will come priests and prophets and missionaries. Out of Israel also, God brought Jesus, the Messiah. Here in chapter 24, Joshua traces God's faithfulness throughout Israel's spiritual history, from the time of their forefathers until now in Canaan, reminding them that God is faithful to his word. Every word of God's good promises to them in the covenant has been fulfilled. Not one failed. It's recorded, Joshua 21:45. Not one word failed. God never fails. You can deny his word, but it will be fulfilled. He is faithful to his word. But the Israelites knew, they knew in their heart that God has fulfilled those promises. Just as every good promise of God has come true, so will the consequence. What did the Israelites have to do? What did they have to do? Worship God alone. Now, the chapter 24, you just have to glance down. Joshua says it. He says, I can't see it. Well, anyway, Joshua 24, where does it say, if you do not, I need to, 19, yeah. I'm so used to looking at my own Bible, in context, I can't find it. Joshua said to the people, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you. After he has been good to you, there is a consequence, and God has every right. So there are real consequences to breaking the covenant with God. While God kept his side of the covenant, the Israelites, for most of their part, failed miserably. After Joshua and his generation had passed, a new generation of Israelites grew up, and it's recorded, who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel, and the people did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served other gods. Judges chapter 2, just the next chapter, okay? How is it that the next generation of Israelites did not know God? How is it? Because mothers and fathers neglected to tell their children about the mighty deeds of God. It was commanded to them, these commands I give to you, you are to teach diligently to the children. Talk about it when you're sitting down, when you're lying, when you're sitting down, when you're walking, talk to them. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7, for those who like to refer. In neglecting to tell their children of God, about God and the works that he has done, it's not even to teach them theology, it's just really tell them what has God done in your lives. The Israelites deprived their own children from knowing God and kept then deprived them of continuing to keep the covenant of God. In neglecting to tell their children, essentially, they've ushered them into destruction. The disaster that was part of the covenant if they forsook God and worship other gods. How terrible! And the psalm that we read reminds us, in my version, tell the next generation of the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and his wonders. But the people neglected. I refuse to use the word they did not remember. No, they neglected. They know and they didn't do it. Neglect. Sorry. Now, Judges tells us the ex- the extent of evil they did. And I must read to you. You read the full version in Judges. Really exciting. I will just condense it for you. Israel, God's chosen people, prostituted themselves to other gods and worshipped them, doing evil to provoke God's wrath. Each time God raised a judge to save them, they only returned to ways even more corrupt. Ultimately, true to God's words, he scattered the nation of Israel out of Canaan, and people were banished into exiles. In ancient days, the Israelites disobeyed God, violated the covenant with God. The Jews in Jesus' days rejected Jesus as the Messiah because in their eyes, Jesus has failed. He died on the cross. How can a Messiah die? Today, modern day Israel, only a very small portion of the Jewish population believe in Jesus as their Messiah. Has God failed? Now I come to God's chosen people of the new covenant. Biblical Israel failed miserably. But did you think that an all-knowing God was caught off guard? That would be quite ridiculous, right? Our God is all-knowing. Out of the goodness, the faithfulness, the grace and love of God, he will not let the fickleness and unfaithfulness and failure of humans to foil his plans to set people free from the bondage of sin. No, he is God. He never fails. Remember that out of Israel, God brought Jesus, the Messiah who will redeem. Through that covenant with Abraham and the Israelites, God's plan to reconcile his people to himself was already in motion. Can you see that? The good news of the cross is that God himself rescued sinners from his wrath. He himself, not us. Not that we know God, oh, blah, blah, we respond. God himself. God demonstrates his love for his people this way. While we were still sinners, enemies of God, Christ died for us. The merciful Father sends his perfect Son to die the death that sin deserves so that undeserving humans